You're listening to a best of a Better Lawns and Gardens while Teresa Watkins and I are out covering our plants.
Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. I'd love to talk to you today about what's going on in your gardening. Winter is back, and it's going to be with us through Sunday. We're going to get a freeze possibly Sunday morning in North Florida and Central Florida. It was 36 degrees today at my house. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning.
Was it cold where you're from?
Oh, yeah. I'm out in Sorrento, so it was very crisp.
It was, and it's going to be like this off and on through March 15th. This is typical for Florida winters. We're going to get 3 or 4 days, maybe a week of good sunlight and lots of sunlight and, you know, temperatures in the 70s, 60s and 70s, but then it's going to drop right back down to the 30s again. And so that cold front came through Friday, early Friday morning, and was with us yesterday. And again, it's going to be freezing. So hopefully you didn't put your frost blankets away. And I really hope that you didn't cut your plants back. Okay, so cutting them back, taking off the tops of them, trimming them back where the trunk or the stem or the branches will start producing new growth. It's not a good time to do that. And you can cut the dead leaves off, but don't go near the stem or the trunk of the plant. Okay, so just bear with it for a little while longer. We have beautiful weather, you know, 10 months out of the year, 11 months out of the year. And, you know, this is just part of our winter. And we don't want to do anything that's going to hurt our plants even more. So temperatures are going to be freezing in North Florida, down to the low 30s in Central Florida and South Florida. Your lows are going to be in the 50s, so it's just going to be one of those days. The sun is going to be out today and tomorrow, and it's just going to start to get warmer. We're going to be back in the 70s next week. I would like to give a big hello to all our new listeners in Palm Coast and also in Naples. I was able to speak to two groups last week, large groups, the Palm Coast Garden Club. And they are just delightful, a good crowd, and I met some new people there. And then also, I went and spoke down at the Naples Extension, County Extension, and I did a talk on cottage gardening and also overjoyed with aeroids. And aeroids are a popular gardening trend, and collecting the rare and exotic ones is a popular thing to do with gardeners who love tropical plants. And the aeroid family includes about 3,400 plant species. Among them is the aglaonema. And you gardeners and houseplant lovers will know what some of these plants are. Caladiums, very popular in Florida. Callas, Diffenbachias, peace lilies and jack-in-the-pulpits, philodendrons, Xanadus, and one that I didn't realize, the ZZ plant. And the ZZ plant is a really great plant for houses that don't get a lot of sunlight and office buildings, and our daughter and son-in-law, they have one in their house, and it just does a great job. Very easy to grow. If you're looking for rare and exotic plants like aeroids, check out plantdelights.com. Plantdelights.com. Tony Avent was on during our New Year's special, and he has a lot of great new plants. Some of them he has invented, hybridized, and some that you just find in rare locations all around the world. Florida Arbor Day is next week. Hopefully everyone listening will look for a local event to attend or make plans to plant a tree, a Florida native tree that will benefit wildlife resources and will look good, can handle our winters, can handle our heat and soil conditions, and it's a wonderful way to do it. Now, Florida does things differently, of course, and Arbor Day is in January for us because it's a great time of the year to plant trees. Native trees like Florida maple, buckeye, loblolly bays, Chickasaw plums, which are one of my favorites, cypresses, dogwoods, and fringe tree, another one of my favorites. I have a beautiful fringe tree in my front yard. Hickory, oaks, and pine trees. If you haven't had a chance to visit our sponsor, Quality Green Specialists in DeLand, they have a great resource for native trees, and you can find wonderful ones that are nice and healthy, good specimens, and you can go by and pick one up this week and plant it just in time for Arbor Day. So when you're there, please thank Dana Venrick for sponsoring Better Lawns and Gardens. We always want to give our sponsors a really good welcome and appreciation and gratitude for sponsoring so that we can bring you Better Lawns and Gardens for over 30 years.
Yeah, and he's also a good dude to talk to, because just listening to his interviews when he calls in here, whenever I pick up the phone, such a good conversationist.
He is, and he just knows everything. He's been at Extension. He's been with the USDA, the State Department. He knows everything about trees and plants and, you know, fertilizing correctly with minerals. You can pick up azomite there. So it's a really good, just a great resource for gardeners. That's Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. And then another great sponsor of Better Lawns and Gardens in Polk County is Peterson's Nursery, the three-generational garden center for all your landscape needs. Peterson Nursery is going to have a free program on growing roses at the nursery at 9:30 this morning. And go by and learn all about growing roses. And please let him know. Thank you for sponsoring Better Lawns and Gardens. Coming up after the break, I'll be talking with the editor of Washington Gardener and host of the popular Garden DC podcast, Kathy Gents. Kathy Gents is the creator of the holiday National Seed Swap Day, and she's going to be telling us about that. And in our second hour, we have Mark Dwyer, landscape architect, who's going to be telling us about Pantone's 2023 Color of the Year. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. This is Teresa Watkins. You're listening to the best of Better Lawns and Gardens. Enjoy your weekend. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Now it's your turn. If you have a gardening question, you can call me at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And I'd like to follow up with Lisa and Richie's question with a question from George from Claremont. He sent a great email showing me Christmas freeze damage. And he said, in talking with my neighbors, they're saying kind of wait and see. However, I would think there are things I can do to hopefully, capitalized letters, help the plants recover from the hard freeze they took. Any and all advice will be appreciated. So he showed me copper plants, pagoda plants, elephant ears, Panama rose, firebush, and plumbagos that had been damaged. And he says, I've been around Claremont, and I've seen a plumbago and a firebush that look just fine. These plants have basically no protection like mine, but theirs are okay, and mine are horrible. They did not cover anything. Well, George, thank you for the great question and the photos. So there are several reasons that plants freeze in one yard but don't freeze in another. And they don't get any damage. And the reasons, like, they could be that they may have been dehydrated. It's always important that before a freeze, 2 to 3 days before, that they are, you know, that they get some rain or some irrigation, supplemental irrigation, so that their veins, that they're really hydrated and they are not stressed out. Stressed out plants are more susceptible to freezes. So when we usually get a cold front, the rain follows it, and that can be enough water to hydrate it. But I don't take any chances. 2 to 3 days before a freeze, I do hand water my plants that I think are going to be under stress. The other reason could be that they're in a microclimate, that the area just doesn't get as cold as your area. And there could be a number of reasons for that. There could be equipment around the house. It could be a roof overhang, tree canopies, and that there could be buildings that stop the wind, you know, from damage, from blowing through. So there, you know, it could be that reason. And then there's another reason, is that they have been fertilized and that they're healthier than your plants. And that means over the last year, these plants are just a little bit more vibrant, a little bit more healthier because they've been taken care of. And so there's a number of different reasons. So you just have to kind of figure it out. But microclimates are usually the reason. So it got down, you know, and Tom McCubbin is a good, example of this. He doesn't get as much rain as some other areas, and he doesn't get as cold, or sometimes it gets colder where he lives, and it's not as cold where I am. I'm downtown Orlando, and surrounded by all the buildings downtown, my area just doesn't get as cold. So we also have a big, huge noise wall barrier from I-4, and that protects from the wind. So, you know, there's could be a lot of different reasons. Usually it's a microclimate and it doesn't get as cold. All right. So that's the reason from that. So Brian asked from our Facebook page, he put in a question, when should I apply Weed and Feed for St. Augustine lawns? Brian, thank you for asking. That's so important. It's not recommended ever to use a Weed and Feed. Think about it. You're putting an herbicide down that's going to kill plants, and you're also feeding plants so that they will grow. It's kind of a waste of time, but also just kind of just not useful. So right now, when the temperatures warm up over 75 degrees, when they're averaging that, and they get a little bit warmer, this is a time, if you have a weed problem, to put down a pre-emergent herbicide. You want to do that sometime around the end of January, first part of February. Okay. Anytime you have 5 days of warm temperatures, weed seeds are going to start germinating. All right. So you can kind of nip that in the bud. The next thing you want to do is fertilize St. Augustine lawns in the end of March, first part of April. Okay. And that will be a time for doing that. So do it at two separate times. Okay. And then again, you want to use slow release fertilizers, March, April, and then again in September, October. Thank you so much for your question, Brian. Let's go to Mike in Venice. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hi, good, Teresa. Good morning. Teresa, I had to remove a magnolia tree because it wasn't doing well, and I've already purchased, and it's going to be installed this week. It's a 45-gallon Japanese blueberry.
Oh, wonderful.
And here's my question, because I've heard so many different views on this. As to whether to add soil amendments to the soil that's already there, number one, and number two, whether I should try to do anything with a root ball, because the people installing it say they don't do anything, but they do install a lot of trees. So I'd appreciate your word on this.
Okay, that's a great question, Mike. I'm glad you called me. One, when you're planting a tree or a plant in a single hole, there's no reason to add any soil amendments. Okay. Now, the reason for that is that it's already in good soil around the root system. And when you put it into the ground, it's going to go into a little mini shock because you're going to kind of disturb it from the pot and you're going to disturb the root systems. And what it does when it goes into a little mini shock is that it's going to start producing new roots. And when those new roots go out into the soil of your yard, okay, it's going to adapt easier than if you were to put the soil, you know, add organic amendments to that hole, because once it starts to go through that shock, it's going to go into that good organic material that you put in outside of the soil that it's in, and it's going to love it and it's going to grow really great. But then when it starts to grow roots again, that could be either with a change of seasons, temperatures, or you add fertilizer to it in a few months, it's going to start producing new roots. And it's going to go out into that sugar sand or the soil that's outside of that hole, and it's not going to like it, and it's not going to be in shock anymore. So it's going to turn the roots right back into that good soil, okay? And so it could girdle itself by adding organic amendments to that single hole. So, you know, if you don't have good soil, we recommend mending the soil in the whole entire garden bed area, but you don't need to amend a single hole. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Excellent.
Now, yeah. And so now what should you do? One, make sure that they take all the burlap, any kind of plastic on the root ball or a kind of a wire fencing, anything on that root ball needs to be removed before it's planted. Okay.
Yes,
and that's the only thing. And you know, kind of, if you can do it while you're standing there, you know, maybe fluff up the roots, you know, while you're there, and you can do that while they're, you know, getting it out of the pot. Good question, Mike. Thank you so much. We'll be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens if it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. You're listening to the Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. This is Teresa Watkins. You're listening to the best of Better Lawns and Gardens. Enjoy your weekend. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Now it's your turn. If you have a gardening question, you can call me at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And I'd like to follow up with Lisa and Richie's question with a question from George from Claremont. He sent a great email showing me Christmas freeze damage. And he said, as in talking with my neighbors, they're saying kind of wait and see. However, I would think there are things I can do to hopefully, capitalized letters, help the plants recover from the hard freeze they took. Any and all advice will be appreciated. So he showed me copper plants, pagoda plants, elephant ears, Panama rose, firebush, and plumbagos that had been damaged. And he says, I've been around Claremont, and I've seen a plumbago and a firebush that look just fine. These plants have basically no protection like mine, but theirs are okay, and mine are horrible. They did not cover anything. Well, George, thank you for the great question and the photos. So there are several reasons that plants freeze in one yard but don't freeze in another. And they don't get any damage. And the reasons, like, they could be that they may have been dehydrated. It's always important that before a freeze, 2 to 3 days before, that they are, you know, that they get some rain or some irrigation, supplemental irrigation, so that their veins, that they're really hydrated and they are not stressed out. Stressed out plants are more susceptible to freezes. So when we usually get a cold front, the rain follows it, and that can be enough water to hydrate it. But I don't take any chances. 2 to 3 days before a freeze, I do hand water my plants that I think are going to be under stress. The other reason could be that they're in a microclimate, that the area just doesn't get as cold as your area. And there could be a number of reasons for that. There could be equipment around the house. It could be a roof overhang, tree canopies, and that there could be buildings that stop the wind, you know, from damage, from blowing through. So there, you know, it could be that reason. And then there's another reason, is that they have been fertilized and that they're healthier than your plants. And that means over the last year, these plants are just a little bit more vibrant, a little bit more healthier, because they've been taken care of. And so there's a number of different reasons. So you just have to kind of figure it out. But microclimates are usually the reason. So it got down, you know, and Tom McCubbin is a good example of this. He doesn't get as much rain as some other areas. And he doesn't get as cold, or sometimes it gets colder where he lives and it's not as cold where I am. I'm downtown Orlando, and surrounded by all the buildings downtown, my area just doesn't get as cold. So we also have a big, huge noise wall barrier from I-4, and that protects from the wind. So, you know, there's could be a lot of different reasons. Usually it's a microclimate and it doesn't get as cold. All right. So that's the reason from that. So Brian asked from our Facebook page, he put in a question, when should I apply weed and feed for St. Augustine lawns? Brian, thank you for asking. That's so important. It's not recommended ever to use a weed and feed. Think about it. You're putting an herbicide down that's going to kill plants, and you're also feeding plants so that they will grow. It's kind of a waste of time, but also just kind of just not useful. So right now, when the temperatures warm up over 75 degrees, when they're averaging that, and they get a little bit warmer, This is a time, if you have a weed problem, to put down a pre-emergent herbicide. You want to do that sometime around the end of January, first part of February. Okay. Anytime you have 5 days of warm temperatures, weed seeds are going to start germinating. All right. So you can kind of nip that in the bud. The next thing you want to do is fertilize St. Augustine lawns in the end of March, first part of April. Okay. And that will be a time for doing that. So do it at two separate times, okay? And then again, you want to use slow-release fertilizers March, April, and then again in September, October. Thank you so much for your question, Brian. Let's go to Mike in Venice. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hi, good, Teresa. Good morning. Teresa, I had to remove a magnolia tree because it wasn't doing well, and I've already purchased, and it's going to be installed this week. It's a 45-gallon Japanese blueberry.
Oh, wonderful.
And here's my question, because I've heard so many different views on this, as to whether to add soil amendments to the soil that's already there, number one, and number two, whether I should try to do anything with a root ball, because the people installing it say they don't do anything, but they do install a lot of trees. So I'd appreciate your word on this.
Okay, that's a great question, Mike. I'm glad you called me. One, when you're planting a tree or a plant in a single hole, there's no reason to add any soil amendments, okay? Now, the reason for that is that it's already in good soil around the root system. And when you put it into the ground, it's going to go into a little mini shock because you're going to kind of disturb it from the pot and you're going to disturb the root systems. And what it does when it goes into a little mini shock is that it's going to start producing new roots. And when those new roots go out into the soil of your yard, okay, it's going to adapt easier than if you were to put the soil, you know, add organic amendments to that hole. Because once it starts to go through that shock, it's going to go into that good organic material that you put in outside of the soil that it's in, and it's going to love it, and it's going to grow really great. But then when it starts to grow roots again, that could be either with a change of seasons, temperatures, or you add fertilizer to it in a few months, it's going to start producing new roots. And it's going to go out into that sugar sand or the soil that's outside of that hole, and it's not going to like it, and it's not going to be in shock anymore. So it's going to turn the roots right back into that good soil, okay? And so it could girdle itself by adding organic amendments to that single hole. So, you know, if you don't have good soil, we recommend mending the soil in the whole entire garden bed area, but you don't need to mend a single hole. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Excellent.
Now, what should you do? One, make sure that they take all the burlap, any kind of plastic on the root ball or a kind of a wire fencing, anything on that root ball needs to be removed before it's planted, okay?
Yes,
and that's the only thing. And, you know, kind of if you can do it while you're standing there, you know, maybe fluff up the roots, you know, while you're there. And you can do that while they're, you know, getting it out of the pot. Good question, Mike. Thank you so much. We'll be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens if it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. You're listening to the Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We would love for you to call and ask your gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And I would love to have you also go to our Facebook page and like it. Give us 5 stars, right, Lizzie?
I'm telling you what, we have the best listeners and they always give us what we ask for. So yes, we would appreciate 5 stars.
There you go. And Brian and David just did that. So we do appreciate that so much. It's a David and Lisa kind of morning. All these text messages are the same names, which is great. And so got a text message from Lisa in Port Orange. And she said, you mentioned putting down a pre-emergent for weeds Is there one we should use for dollar weed in a lawn? Okay, so let me explain dollar weed. Okay, so Lisa, you have dollar weed in your lawn. That means one thing, that you have a lot of water in your soil, in your lawn. Now, that could be because you're close to a lake shore, a little creek or river, or that you could be overwatering. Okay, dollar weed is an aquatic plant, and it only grows in lakefronts, in shorelines. It grows in the water, and it needs water to survive. So, yes, there's an herbicide for dollar weed that you can buy, but if you're overwatering or you're close to a lakefront or shoreline, there's really no need to do it because you're going to be diluting that herbicide. It's not going to work well, and you're always going to have dollar weed. So what I want you to do is, if you're looking for a pre-emergent or an herbicide for your lawn, read the label. It will tell you what kind of turf that herbicide can be used on, whether it's for St. Augustine or whether it's for Bahia grass or Zoysia grass or Bermuda, any kind of grass turf area that you have, it will be on the label. You only want to apply herbicides according to the instructions and only as necessary. Okay, so that's very important. So read the label. No matter what lawn type you have, you can put a pre-emergent down. But if you have dollar weed, I'm going to say that you having a lot of water there is the reason why you have it. And if you'll reduce the applications right now in most counties in the state of Florida, we're only allowed to be watering due to water restrictions one time a week. And with the rainfall that we've had since January, beginning of January, you shouldn't have had to water your landscape at all. We've had plenty of water. The temperatures have been cool enough. Now, the other thing is, if you've got a new lawn, how often do you water? Well, you want to water once a day for the first week, once every 2 days the second week, once every 3 days the third week, and by the end of the month, within 30 days, you're watering according to the restrictions. If you water every day for 30 days, that root system of the turf grass is not going to get established. You're basically growing hydroponically. Okay, so keep reducing the water and allow the turf grass to grow deeper. Mother Nature knows exactly what she's doing. And if you supply that water and it doesn't have to extend its roots, by the end of the month, when you have to go to once a week watering, then your turf is going to decline and it's not going to do well. And it's always going to be stressed out. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us at 23680.
And another thing, okay, so this kind of popped in my head. So it's always, you know, welcome to America, more is better, right? Well, like you were saying, following the label. So I kind of thought of this like adding too much salt to your food would be like adding too much either fertilizer or the other items, minerals, and it'll just kill the situation. So
right.
Follow yeah. those labels.
That's why they're safe, because we're not taking these products off the market because they're bad. We're taking these products off the market because we can't control people and they think a little bit is good, a lot will be better.
America.
You know, there you go. And so, you know, it's just important because they have been tested and this is what's safe. It doesn't hurt the environment when used only as necessary and according to the instructions. Okay, and Lizzie's got a really good point. You know, fertilizer at its base is salt. And so if you use too much of it, you're going to waste a lot of it because the plants are only going to absorb so much. But then also, too, you're going to stress it out and it's going to start to decline. So let's go to text messages. And Pat and Chilota, thank you for sending a perfect text messages. I bought 2 rainbow eucalyptus in a box and no soil. How and what should I start them in? Well, you want to start them in a container, Pat. But I'm going to tell you that Chilota is going to be a little too cold for the rainbow eucalyptus. They are very tropical and only grow in zones 10B and also 11 and 12. That's South Florida at the, you know, just right below Lake Okeechobee. So you're going to want to protect them. And so the rainbow eucalyptus, I would start it in a pot, depending on how big the root ball is. You know, you want to give it some good soil, maybe a 3-gallon container. Okay, so look at the size of the pot. Make sure you can put enough soil in there and the root system has a little bit long time to grow. And then you want to put it outside when it's warm and hot and sticky. Let the rainfall get it, but you're going to need to bring it in the wintertime. Okay, so I love the trees. Rainbow eucalyptus are beautiful. Have you ever seen one, Lizzie, a rainbow eucalyptus?
I probably have, but didn't know by the name.
Okay, so this is where the bark, all the way up the tree, whether it gets to be like 80 feet tall, it will be blue and purple and orange and red and yellow,
yes,
and
okay,
green. All the multicolors of rainbow eucalyptus is just gorgeous. So let's go to our phone lines. Mark in Cocoa. Good morning, Mark. How can I help you?
Good morning. Hey, I really love your show.
Thank you.
So I had I planted a lot of milkweed down the east side of my house last year, and they were I had quite a few of those caterpillars from the monarch butterflies.
Uh-huh.
Stripped all the leaves off them, so I was able to count several dozen, probably 4 or 5 dozen of them, mm-hmm, one day. And also, I had this my oak tree on the side of that. This was in November. The oak tree on the side of my house was blooming that orangey dander type of a fluffy stuff that falls, you know, every fall. And there was literally thousands of bees just all over the tree, just buzzing every morning. I walk outside and I can just hear them in the air.
Uh-huh.
And one morning around 9 or 10 o'clock, one of those pesticide trucks with the big tanks came along and they sprayed my neighbor's yard.
Uh-huh.
And I went inside because I didn't want to, you know, smell that
fumes,
that odor from the tree. So later on in the afternoon, I came outside and all my, first I noticed on the sidewalk, I thought they were berries, but all the bees were dead on the sidewalk. I couldn't even take a step without stepping on a bee. And all the caterpillars were dead.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And I didn't I just wanted everybody to realize that when you spray these, this is, I think, the result of, I mean, I guess it kills, you know, your ants and your roaches, but you're also damaging other things too.
You're damaging the beneficial, you know, bugs too as well. And that's a really good point, Mark. You know, we don't recommend spraying on a regular basis, okay? So whether you're getting monthly sprays or, you know, a quarterly sprays, if you do not have an insect problem, there's no reason to put a spray down. But the pesticides, I've had HOAs or people in their neighborhoods, they call, or they, you know, when I'm consulting, they go, we never see butterflies or bees. And I'll say, do you get your yard sprayed? And they'll say, yes, I get it sprayed like every 3 months. And well, that's the reason, you know. So, you know, if you do not have a bug problem, there's no reason to put a pesticide down. Okay.
Yeah, and I know there's a big thing about the bees. I've heard about the bees in recent years all disappearing and everything. And
well,
you know, I don't think this.
Well, they are, but it's for different reasons, a lot of different reasons. But, you know, regular routine pesticide spraying is a factor. So, yeah, good call this morning. Thank you so much for caring.
Yeah.
And replant those milkweeds. They'll come back. The bees will and the butterflies will come back. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can give us a text message at 23680. Thank you for being with us the first hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I would like to thank Kathy Jentz, editor of Washington Gardener and creator of the Seed Swap Day on January 28th. Let me know if you have your own Seed Swap Day in your neighborhood or garden club. I would love to talk to you about it. In our next hour, we'll be talking with our creative landscape architect and designer, Mark Dwyer. He's going to let us know all the plants that will fit Pantone's Color of the Year for 2024. You might have some of these plants already in your landscape. You might be gardening with the newest color and don't even know it. Stay tuned. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and SummitResponsibleSolutions.com, I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
When was the last time you had a truly awesome nursery experience? A nursery and garden center with a huge selection and friendly expert advice. We're talking about Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. At Quality Green, we have your favorite plants, fruit trees, flowers, vegetables, and herbs. Plus, with our 8011 fertilizer, organic azomite, and composted soil, your garden will look its very best. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice. 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, and online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.